appreciative, Lord, as I'm sure you are, of those who have pressed their way to come tonight just to say, I'm going to honor God tonight, and I give you thanks and I praise you. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise no matter what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name, teach us and we shall be taught. Help us to submit to your will so that we will pray without ceasing. I summon tonight your supernatural power to be alive and at work in all of us. Our souls will take courage in the name of Jesus. And as always, Satan is defeated and Jesus is still Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. You may be seated. What a blessed day. What a blessed day God has kept us in. Getting ready to get a little snow, huh? Getting ready to get a little snow. And thank you for not going to the supermarkets tonight. I know you may have had to. And I know a lot of our members are at the supermarkets and they need to be, because I'm telling you, they buy out everything. And I know some of you may have to go on the way home, so I'm going to go real quick in this lesson. I thank you for just, I thank God for those who are here tonight. Amen. And I pray God's blessings upon, amen, all in our congregation. I want to praise God today that what the devil meant for harm, God turned it around to his good. Amen. God turned it around. Brother Tolson, we love you, and I wanted you to just know that, and I wanted you to sense that from your church today. Amen. 12 years old, and we had a celebration of service for 12 years old. Amen. Lachey went home to be with the Lord, and I was so happy to see so many people come down to accept Jesus as Lord. And hallelujah. I was just so happy, and I was really happy. One young man came up to me. He said, I don't want to wait till Sunday. I'm joining the church now. I said, yeah, you can join the church right now. You sure can. This is about him. This is about people. Amen. It's not about process and traditions. It's about him. Another gentleman came and said, he thought he was interrupting me. He said, Pastor, I don't mean to interrupt your service. He said, but I feel so good. I don't know what to do or how to express myself. I said, just go and tell everybody God is good. And he sure did. He went telling everybody that God was good. This, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. There is freedom for people to express themselves. There's freedom for us to not be so rigid and locked into religion that people can't feel free. Amen. In the Lord. So I want to praise God and for this time that we'll share. Just a few minutes that we will share tonight. We praise God, and we're just about finished a long but wonderful study in the book Prayers That Outwit the Enemy. Amen. I'm so appreciative of your patience with my schedule as well. It's been a little different than it has been doing most sessions, because the committee that I'm on requires a whole lot more and a whole lot more time, and I didn't really bank on that. But wherever I go, I thank God for the privilege to serve. Amen. Thank you for your patience with that as well. And in about 2 weeks, we're going to start another study on a great book that I am asking all of you to purchase in our bookstore. It's a book that is the natural next step from this study on prayer. Amen. Our next study will be on spiritual strategies for advancing the kingdom of God. Listen to me. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Amen. I thank God for the United States of America, but my citizenship, my real citizenship, is in heaven. Amen. Come on. Amen. That I am a born again citizen of heaven, and he has called us to spread the kingdom of God wherever we are. So that's what happens. We are destined to rule. Say that. I'm destined to rule. It is what happens when a dead church comes alive and begins walking according to God's purpose for why he created the church. So I want you to take the next 2 weeks and try to purchase the book in our bookstore. If you have trouble purchasing the book, financially, you ought to email me and tell me. I don't want anybody to not have it. Amen. Figure something out I want everybody, it doesn't cost that much. What does a book cost? Do we know? $15. If I had written the book myself, I'd give it to y'all for $1.50. Y'all know I would too, right? I'd be like, yeah, sure, $1.50. He said, yes, ma'am. You got one? Good. Me too. I want to make sure anyone that book with all the pages empty, right? A nice cover. Oh, no. If you get it, we got about 200 orders. We're going to order it right through you. Oh, no. You can order through Amazon for us. I need somebody with a iPad or iPod, whatever. Go to Amazon, www. Then I'm just kidding. If we find a 55 cent, I tell you what, I'll be blessing her. 55 cents. Thank you, Jesus. Get on it tonight. Look it up now. It is Spiritual Strategies for Advancing the Kingdom of God, Destined to Rule. We are destined to rule. So y'all look that up. So I'm going to teach about 20 minutes tonight. Then we're going to pray a minute and then go home before any snow starts. Okay? Then we'll break into some prayers, God, to bless us. Because listen to me, it's good to talk about prayer, but information without implementation is dead. Dead information. And some people just learn, get the information, and do nothing with it. I thank God we don't have that kind of church. Amen? They never try to see if doing what you learn actually works, because you're so used to doing what you do and you're used to getting what you get until you don't know that God has something better. Amen? Now, I don't know how many of you actually got the last book, Prayers That Outwit the Enemy. And so if for those of you who may not have it, I've got to figure something out how to get the information to those who may not have the book that we're studying now, because beginning next Tuesday, we want to go on a 32-day victory prayer warfare exercise. 32 days. Amen. Not going to cost you a lot of time, but 32 days, right? We're going to go right beyond Resurrection Sunday, and that will help to prepare us for Pentecost. Amen. Say that: victory, prayer, warfare, exercise. In the back of the book that you have, there are 32 pages, that 32 for each day, a day for 32 days, right? And I'm going to talk about that tonight, because we want to now be specific, continue to be specific in our prayers. And so if you don't have that book and you don't have that portion, I have to figure out how to get it printed for you. And it might cost you a dollar. Not 55 cents. We got to print it. We have to print it, right? So we have to print it out. But I want everybody to have it, so that for those 7 days from Tuesday to Tuesday, we're all praying the same thing. There's power in unity. And then where two or three are gathered and praying. And I don't know about you, but man, since we started from worship to prayer, I have seen God begin to work some tremendous spiritual, amen, edification in this church. I've seen our Sunday morning services, how God has just heightened the anointing in our church. And I've seen people coming, amen, and people came in on Sunday. They didn't come to join. They just came, and the Holy Spirit said, this is your church. Amen. And I'm watching God. I'm watching people set on fire who were tired and had been working for so long and were tired. But I want to thank God that God will restore your strength back to you. Amen. So each week for 4 weeks, I'm going to go over the scriptures and what it is we will pray for. And you will pray and make notes about when you're in prayer, don't get up right away. Have a pencil and some paper in case God speaks something to you. We always pray to tell God what we want to say. Then we say goodbye. And we never stop to say, wait a minute, Lord, is there anything that you want to say to me? Because unless God is dead, God speaks. Let me say it again. God has the capacity to speak. Amen? And he'll speak to you in many ways, thoughts in your heart, thoughts in your mind. You'll begin to write it down, and you'll know as you go through the day and as you go through the week why God spoke to you the way that he did. So he speaks. Say that God speaks. And sometimes you may want to come to a Bible class and share what God has shared with you because it will help somebody else. Amen? It will help somebody else. So I'm being intentional, and I know I've been saying this, but I'm being intentional about the power of prayer and pushing us to pray because I believe in the power and the worth and the results of prayer. Amen. Say this. Prayer has power. Prayer has worth and results. I don't want to just keep praying and not seeing nothing happen. I want to pray and know, wait a minute, I prayed about that and look what God has done. I don't want to just depend on a preacher or the bishop to pray for me. I want to be able to come and tell him, look at what God has done because I've got the same power you have. Amen. I have access to the same power, to the same source. I'm going to keep saying this over and over again. A non-praying church is a dead church. And if most of our members do not pray, then they contribute to the weakness of our church. Every church is only who the members are. I've been saying that for 10 weeks now, right? Members who are powerless. If all the members in the church are powerless, what kind of church will we have? Come on, powerless. Because the pews, the pews don't get the Holy Ghost. I ain't never seen a pew get up and shout. And if I do, I'm leaving. We are the carriers of the anointing of God. And if every member, if we came to church every Sunday and every member just walked in here because they've been going through fighting all week and going through spiritual warfare all week, and if every member came in here depressed, what kind of service are we going to have? It's going to be depressed. And now, so when a sinner walks in wanting to know about the God that we say is a God that we serve, and it's such a drag and a pull and everybody's depressed, I don't want anybody's God like that. I'd leave. There ought to be some smiles in the church. Amen. Everybody don't smile all the time because you don't know what a person's going through. But somebody ought to have a smile on their face. Somebody ought to have some joy. Everybody can't drag all the time, right? And so we want to be intentional to know that if we are a praying church, we are a church with power. And let me tell you something. The devil's not dumb. He won't mess with a church with power. He'll know when to stop. Amen? So it's important to put into practice the strategies we have learned in this study on prayer. And again, remember this. What kind of word did I say strategies is? What kind of word is strategy? Military, right? Strategy, military, to have a plan and not just let the devil whip up on you and you're just sitting around waiting to see what's going to happen. You know, strategies. Because let me tell you something. Satan strategizes to make your life miserable. And should we just sit back and do nothing? What we have been learning are not just a few concepts and nice information about prayer. We have been learning an action plan for successfully defeating the works and the methods of Satan, and to stop him from frustrating you and keeping you bound. Amen. So if you practice this, God will give you an action plan. 1 Timothy 1. I've said most of what I wanted to say. 1 Timothy 1. Turn there for a moment. And let me repeat this. We do not go into spiritual warfare against Satan empty or thoughtless. You do not start a battle to take back what the devil has stolen from you and not have a warfare plan. You're not thoughtless about it. When I battle against Satan, I want to have in my mind what it is that I'm going to accomplish. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. When I pray, I want to know before I get on my knees, what is it that I plan to accomplish? I'm not just getting on my knees to thank God for my food. Because sometimes I thank God for my shelter. Thank God for my job. Thank God. I'm not just repeating the same thing every day, but and I've been saying this, we want to pray in our prayers to be warfare or war or wage war against the devil. When I get on my knees, I want to know what it is that I'm going to accomplish. I want to know how I'm going to cripple the devil. I want to know how I'm going to stop him dead in his tracks. So we need to pray in confidence. Amen. And look, sometimes you got to put your feelings aside when you pray. It is easy to get on your knees and pray in a spirit of defeat and pray with a sad spirit. But what you want to do now as we go into this next level of prayer is learn how to put your feelings aside when you pray and pray in faith. So I want to pray in confidence. I want to pray with some enthusiasm. You ever hear people pray and they pray like they really don't expect God to answer it? I mean, they pray. It's so sad. Now, Father, I come to you today, and I know the devil's been on my track. And, Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And so I'm just coming to you, Lord, to pray. Whatsoever you want to do, Lord, I want to just say thank you. Who are you talking to? Say this. I must pray with confidence that God is listening to me and he will do something about my situation. I'm getting on my knees with some confidence. Amen. I'm praying with some confidence that God is going. And then I want to pray with this attitude. God is real. Let me say that. I want to pray with this attitude. I don't see you, but God is real. Say that God is real. I want to pray with this attitude. God is able. Look, if you don't think God is able to handle your problem, don't talk to him about it. You know, you're getting on your knees praying and getting up still wondering. If you're going to get on your knees and pray about something, get up thanking God that he's answered it. Get up thanking God that he's got the power and he is able to defeat the powers of darkness. Get up off your knees thanking God. Don't wait until you get the report. Start thanking God when you get up off of your knees, because God is real and God is able. Amen. Then pray, to pray with this attitude that God is real, God is able. And here's the third thing. You want to pray with this attitude, God will. Come on, say that, God will. See, God may not give me what I pray for, but if I trust him, he's going to do something exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what I could imagine. And sometimes God says no, because our little minds can't imagine what God really wants to do. So I want to say, God, I thank you that you are able. I thank you that you're real. I thank you that you're able, and I thank you that you will. I thank you that no matter how much the devil has been fighting me today, you will be my battle axe. So take courage. I don't care how much sickness is coming on me. God, I thank you that you are a healer and you will for me to be healed. I thank you for that. Father, I thank you that I'm depressed today. I'm so depressed. Everything is coming against me and I see no way out. But I want to thank you because I know you will. I know that you will because you're able and I have the confidence, and I will not get up off of my knees with the same spirit of depression that I got on my knees with. I have a prophetic word. Say that, a prophetic word. I want to teach you in the next 10 minutes how to pray with a prophetic word. Not just words, a prophetic word. Wow. Go to war with a prophetic word. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:11. Here's Paul talking to Timothy. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. Look at your neighbor and say, God will enable you. Yeah, I don't have the strength now, but it's coming. Amen. For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Here's Paul testifying. Before I was a blasphemer and a persecutor, and I hurt and injured people, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Hallelujah. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant, with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. This is a wonderful statement, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief sinner. Don't be ashamed of your past. Let me say it again. Because if you're ashamed of your past, you'll get on your knees praying in guilt. God doesn't want you praying in guilt. He wants you praying in faith. You know, when you get on your knees sometime to pray, the devil brings up all the stuff you did. You start thinking, okay, I wonder if God is hearing, because, you know, I did this, I did that. But you ought to just go on and admit it. I was a chief sinner. Come on, y'all, because whatever area of sin we sinned in, we were good at it. Come on, we sometimes half-step about church, but we didn't half-step about sinning. When we sinned, we sinned with everything we had and with everybody we could find to go along with us. We were sin experts. Come on, this is my area of sin. Come on, y'all, this is my area of weakness. And that's why when you get saved, you ought to be like Paul. If that's what I did for the devil, how much more should I be on fire for God? How much more? I gave up a whole lot. Come on, y'all, we gave up a whole lot to sin. Oh, y'all going, yeah, no, not me, Pastor, praise the Lord. No, praise the Lord. No, it's not me. I wasn't that big. I wasn't that big of a sinner, you know. It's for them other people. I was a little sinner, you know. But come on. When we sinned, we were experts in that area. We had a strategy. We didn't just sin. We figured out how we were going to sin, what time we were going to sin, how much it was going to cost us to sin. We raised the money to sin. Y'all, come on, y'all. We had a strategy for Friday night that we worked out on Monday. Thought about it all week. Amen. When you get saved, you shouldn't lose your enthusiasm. You ought to put it to work for God. Then we get saved, and we don't have any strategy for getting ourselves in a position for God to anoint us and bless us and pray for us. All right. Say amen. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Let the church say amen. He says, this charge or this chore or this ministry, this thing that you have to do for God, I commit unto you, Timothy, according to the prophecies. Now, here it is. I'm going to give you something to do, Timothy, and I want you to do it according to the prophecies that went before about you, that you may by them might war a good warfare. Say this, war a good warfare. If I'm gonna go to war against the devil, this is gonna be a good war. Come on, y'all, it's gonna be good warfare. I ain't coming back defeated. If I'm going to go to war and take my health back, take my family back, take my finances back, if I'm going to go to war against the enemy, he better watch out for me. Because there is a prophecy that has gone in front of me. God have mercy. And in prayer, I am sending a prophetic word out from me. Thank you, Jesus. Watch this. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Everybody who comes to church, don't stay in church. Amen. He said there are those who will come and go. There are those, he's not just I'm not talking about Christians. I'm not talking about believing Christians who leave the church. I'm talking about people who come in, and before you know it, they have decided to backslide, and they have made shipwreck. And then he named some of them. So people get on me, they say, well, preacher, I don't think you ought to be saying that. I ain't talking about making people mad. I want to get you saved. Be mad at me for a week. Amen? He says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Wow. Here's the preacher talking about, I just told the devil, you can have them. He just told the devil, look, they are not within the covering of the Lord. Do what you have to do. Amen. When I was coming along, my mom used to say to me, if you make your bed, you're gonna lay in it. Now they, No. This is my house. Here's what you're gonna do. And when you decide to do it your way, you find your house and find your way. Oh, what's going to happen to them if I put them out? What happened to you when your mama put you out? You made it. You grew up. We keep babying baby Huey sinners. Because they have sons and daughters. Sometimes you got to say, go on out there. Father, I thank you for covering them. But whatever you got to do, let the devil whip up on them. Till they come back to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bye-bye. See you later. Amen. You ain't standing by. I ain't buying your cigarettes. You ain't going to keep eating up my food. Amen. Okay, never mind. That's for somebody else. You got to go to war with a prophetic word. Now I got to sum it up this way. Paul, the spiritual father of Timothy. Timothy was a true son of Paul's. According to Acts 16, Timothy had been a part of Paul's evangelistic team for some 12 years now. Timothy was in Ephesus, right? Timothy was in Ephesus. Now, what book talks about the church? Ephesians is about the church in Ephesus, right? Timothy was the pastor of that church. Paul was traveling to Macedonia about 40 miles from Ephesus, and probably after his release from prison, which you will find in Romans 1 and 3. Paul is giving Timothy careful instruction so that Timothy could be a good pastor. But Timothy had a fight on his hands, right? He had to shut up some men who were trying to divide the church with false teachings and make sure that the public prayers were conducted properly. You'll find this in the introduction to some of your Bibles. If you read it, you'll find this. The introduction is there. Listen to me. Satan's most effective weapon in you and in the church and in the world is division. He don't care why I don't like you or you don't like me. All he wants to do is make sure we don't get together and start praying against him. Hello, somebody. He doesn't care when you walk in here that you mad at that brother over there and that sister over there and he did something more. He don't care about you. All he wants to do is make sure that you don't have a reason to get together and start saying, in spite of where we don't agree, let's agree on what we do agree on. Jesus is Lord, and let's start praying. Let's put our differences aside and let's not let the devil, see, the devil creeps into your house that way. Amen. You can't let everybody in your house. You got to try their spirits. You can't send your child to every house to spend the night just because there's a pajama party. Let the church say amen. Where you going? I'm going to John. Where's that? He had a pajama party. We ought to go. First, I want to know, is she safe? Is the mama safe? Is the daddy safe? Because that'll let me know whether or not I know they're going to have you covered and you're going to do the right thing. Y'all, come on, y'all. I need to know during the time that you're there, what are they depositing into your spirit? So when you walk back in here and you ain't the same boy I sent out of here, I got to know what happened. See, you cannot mingle. I'm sorry. It ain't being uppity. You got to protect your anointing. Y'all get what I... You got to protect the anointing that God has put over your life. That's a sermon by itself. And I said I wasn't going to get all preachy. I didn't. And I was getting there, wasn't I? I was getting there. And people were praying in the church in Ephesus, and they were unruly. They were praying. They were unruly, uncontrollable. They were bringing attention to themselves and not the message of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was telling Timothy how to be a good soldier. He said, you can't let anything happen in the church. You got to fight the good fight. You got to protect the souls of the people who are sitting up in your church. And you just can't let anything go on. You got to have some order. Let me tell you something. God is a God of order. And the Spirit is subject to the prophet. Hello? There's no such thing as I can't help myself. This is what would happen in the church. People crept in with all kinds of stuff. And Paul says, Timothy, your ministry is important. Can I tell you something tonight? Your salvation is important. Your ministry is important. He said it's not a chore. It's an honor. It's an honor. It's a privilege to serve God. He said, if you don't think it's a privilege, he said, let me tell you why it's a privilege. I remember who I used to be. Hallelujah. He remembered his past like we should, so we never get drunk off of our good works. Y'all ain't gonna hear me. Some people do some good once in a while, and they live off of that for the rest of their lives. God, you know what I did in 1995 for you. I stood firm, flat-footed for you in 1995. God isn't concerned about what you did yesterday. What have you done for me lately? Y'all don't remember. That's. Listen, when you begin to think about your past and where God brought you from, it ought to make you want to pray. Do you know you could have died in your sins? Do you know that Satan had a sense you were getting ready to come to Jesus, and he stationed every demon from hell to take you down, but God's mercy was on you? Paul said, let me remember. Paul said, I know I'm a great apostle, but I want you to remember that I was a chief sinner, but I want to praise God. That's why every Sunday I try to tell people, because I don't want people to ever get the feeling that I can't relate with what you're going through. I don't ever want people to get the feeling that I'm up here and the members are down here. No, baby, we all here just trying to pray and get up there together. Amen? So Paul said, I'm going to let you know something, Timothy. You are great. God has blessed me to know you, and I want you to know I've not always been the way I am now, but prayer brought me through. I haven't always been an apostle. I haven't always been a preacher. I was a chief sinner. I used to kill Christians. I used to curse the name of Jesus. I was a chief sinner, but by the grace of God, I am who I am, and God saved me for a reason, that I might impart into you what your purpose is for God. Let me tell you, you want to help your son and daughter? You got to help to deposit into them what their purpose is for God. Everybody wants their son to be a doctor or a lawyer. Let me tell you what you really need to wish for first, that they will be a good child of God. If they become a child of God, then the doors will open for them. Come on, if you teach them and train them in the Lord, if you spend as much time as you do trying to teach them to play basketball and football, and you never miss a basketball rehearsal, but they never make one Bible class. Are you listening to me? We give them $20 to go to the movies and 25 cents to put in a church offering. And we have said to them that the movies is more important than the church. But when you teach your children how to put God first, don't be ashamed to tell them where you come from. Don't be ashamed to tell them, I made the same. Oh, we over there. Well, you know, Uncle John did that. No, I did that too. But God brought me through. And I praise God that I'm here to deposit into you. I'm not ashamed of my sins. I'm not ashamed of my past. The Lord has saved me and brought me out. I'm a child of the Most High God. Then he says, Timothy, and when you pray, when you go into prayer with a prophetic word that God has already spoken over your life. Hallelujah. Can I tell somebody something tonight? God's word is already into your Wednesday. God's word is already gone into your Thursday. He's waiting for you to repeat, God have mercy, what he has said, so that your warfare is a good warfare. Let me say it again. For every day of your life, God has sent a word from him in front of you. Hallelujah. He sent a strong word. And the problem is God is waiting for you to start repeating in your prayer what you believe God has said about your situation. Listen to me. Prophecy plays a major role in your life. Write that down. Prophecy is important. Thank you, Jesus. Prophecy. Prophecy. What has God already said about my life? And what has God already said? Prophecy helps us to wage a warfare with a prophetic word that we receive from God through his word. Let me tell you what prophecy is and write this down, because I don't want us getting all spooky. Here's prophecy. Speaking forth the mind and the heart of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Speaking forth the mind of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what did I say tonight? We're talking about praying with a prophetic word. The word inspiration, if you want to just put a little line up above it, means God breathed. Inspiration is God's spirit. Breath and spirit means the same, right? God's spirit breathed upon me. I'm going to say it again for those of you who may have never remember hearing the voice of God. God is real. Speaking forth the mind. Now, preacher, how do I speak the mind of God? How many of you have the Holy Spirit? Then you got the mind of God in you. You just have to get in touch with it. Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, searches the mind of God about everything that I'm going through. And then he comes back into my spirit. And then my spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit what God is trying to do. Let me see if I can break that down another way. Speaking forth the mind of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That means we must have access to the mind of God. How many of you want to know what's in God's mind about your life? Because when I get that word, I can speak forth that word. A prophetic declaration communicating God's intention to fulfill his promise to us. Let me say it. Let me slow walk it. A prophetic declaration to declare something communicated, and it communicates God's intention to fulfill his promises to us. Now, hear me again. All prophecy is not necessarily from God. I take with great caution when someone other than my pastor speaks a prophetic word over my life. Amen? And when someone gives me a word and I get troubled about it, I go to my pastor. I have a pastor, y'all. Amen? I have a pastor. Amen? I go to Bishop Saunders and I say, look, I'm trying to figure this thing out. What do you think is happening? What do you think God is saying? You cannot let everybody speak into your life. That's why you need a pastor. You need somebody who you know. You need somebody who you know loves you and is not going to just send you any kind of way so they can get your money. Everybody's running around to all these folks they never seen, that don't know, waiting, hoping they can get in the prayer line so they can get a word. How are they going to give you a word? How can a stranger give you a word that you can't get on your own about you? I'm trying to fast walk this now. Come on. Amen. Because I'm going to teach further on prophecy week after next. I'm going to teach about prophecy. But let me try and sum it up tonight this way. When you pray in the spirit, that is, begin praying, the first thing you got to do is say, Lord, empty me of whatever I think of this situation. See, when we go to praying, we already have in our mind what we want God to do about it. We already put in our minds what the answer ought to be. But first of all, say this, Lord, empty me. When you go on your knees, you got to ask God to empty you of your presumptions, of your old knowledge, your attitudes, your desires, and can't listen, God can't give you an answer when you go to him and you already got the answer in your mind. Some go to God in prayer not for his revelation, but for their confirmation of what they want to hear God say. God, I want that house. But it ain't your house. In the name of Jesus. God ain't tell you that was your house. God, I want that car. Okay, and you're going to get the car payment. In a minute, you buy a new car and you were happy for a whole 3 weeks. On the fourth week, the payment came in. And you start questioning God, you know. Listen, you got to go to God. Go to God praying with your list of requests. We go to God with a list of requests. And when you do that, you want God to validate it by his word. Don't be asking for things just because you want to be satisfied. But God, through this prayer, I want you to be satisfied. I want you to be satisfied with whatever you give me. Amen? Pray for the word that God has already given you. Let me give you some examples of some words. Let us pray that God, first of all, I want to pray that God continues to send a fresh anointing in this house. Somebody say a fresh anointing. That is, just because you got an anointing yesterday, God anointed you for where you were yesterday. You need an anointing for where you're going tomorrow. And some of y'all are ready to go someplace. You ready to go someplace in the Spirit? You ready to go someplace in the Lord? Amen? Fresh for this anointing. How many of you know that when David was anointed king, he was anointed king when he was a kid? But it wasn't until he got his training. It wasn't until years later that he got another anointing when he was ready to assume his position. God anoints you. There are various anointing. And I want to pray that God sends a fresh anointing. Amen. This anointing will begin to reveal to you the prophetic words that have been dormant in your heart because the Holy Spirit has spoken every word about you. In your praying, you've got to get in touch with the Holy Spirit because the anointing will destroy the yokes that keep you bound to yourself. You've got to pray for an anointing that will break, thank you, Jesus, that will break every yoke, that will break every failing spirit over your life, every failing spirit that's been hanging around you. So I thought, what are some of the prophetic words that I can speak when I pray? Let's just start elementary for a moment. What does God's word say about your situation? The first thing you got to do when you're praying about something is search the scriptures and say, Lord, what do you say about this? Who do you say that you are? That's what you got to do. For example, let's say you feeling spiritually empty. Anybody ever feel that way sometimes? Come on, you feel, no matter how you feel so good in church on Sunday. Then on Monday, you feel so down. Sunday, you just love to praise the Lord. On Monday, I don't want to go near church. And then instead of looking at yourself, you start blaming other people. But when I look for a word, I'm saying, God, I'm empty. What do I need? And Holy Spirit will lead me to Matthew 5 and 6. So I pray Matthew 5. See, that's why it's important to stay in the Word, because I don't know what some people are praying who never read the Bible, never study the Bible. I don't know what you are praying. You cannot be praying the will of God if you don't know his will for your life. Matthew 5, 6. Here's a good example. God, I'm weak. But here's what he says. Blessed are they, verse 6, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be what? The first thing you got to stop is searching for something to satisfy your thirst that God never said ought to satisfy your thirst. The first thing you got to do is stop being hungry for those things that are flesh and blood, and stop being hungry for things. You got to first start being hungry for God. When you first say, God, I want to pray today. I'm not even going to pray about what I want. I need to be hungry for you. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be what? Shall be what? Well, if you're filled, that means there's no emptiness in you. So whatever else God does, you just glorify him. You got to learn how to be satisfied with the bread that comes from heaven. So my prophetic word for tomorrow, before I get depressed tomorrow, before I get to the place where I feel empty, tonight I'm sending a prophetic word into my Wednesday. I don't know what's going to happen by 12 noon tomorrow, but the devil's got some plans to keep me bound, keep me down. So tonight when I pray, Father, I want to thank you that I'm hungry and I'm thirsty after righteousness. Stop being hungry and thirsty after money. Stop being hungry and thirsty after things. Start the search after God and send into your tomorrow a prophetic word. Now watch this. If God keeps you filled tomorrow, no matter what happens to you, you will not be empty. Amen. When you feel rejected and lonely, stop giving into self-pity. Send your prophetic word. Matthew 28. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. See, you got to pray in the spirit. Lord, I don't know why I feel so lonely. You don't need to know why. You just need to know that the devil is a liar. You're not lonely. Come on, somebody just clap your hands and say, I'm never lonely. I'm never lonely. I may not see people, but the presence of the Lord is here. I'm going to teach. I just wanted to start it tonight, but I'm going to talk about prophecy as we move through this, because you've got everything to say about your future, and the devil has nothing to say about it. In fact, the devil is a liar. And if the devil said it, I already know it's not right. I'm not going to be repeating what the devil, you got to get to the place. I'm not going to be repeating what I heard the devil say about me. I am not broke. Say that. I am not broke. Some of y'all start thinking about you're already thinking about your bank account. Let me say it again. I am not broke. The Lord never called me and said I was broke. I ain't never heard the Lord come in my room and call me broke. So I'm sending a prophetic word into my next week, where I won't have the money that I need. But if I send the prophetic word in front of me, Paul said to Timothy, operate out of the prophetic word that has already been spoken over your life. And here's one thing that's for sure. The devil cannot come against the prophetic word of God. God will not allow the devil to make a liar out of him. God is I know what I see, but I'm going to rebuke what I see in the name of Jesus. I'm going to send this prophetic word in front of me. I am not broke. I am rich. I am a child of God. I am one. And God, in the name of Jesus, you start praying. You don't start praying saying, yo, sometimes you pray that way, but not always. You don't always pray and say, God, I don't know. I need you to meet this need. No, God, I want to thank you that you've already met my need. Send the prophetic word. Let heaven know that I believe what God has said about my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know the doctors have said I'm sick, and the doctors say I have cancer, and the doctors say I have this, but in the name of Jesus, I want to now repeat your report. I want to ask you, has anybody ever looked at the report of the Lord over your life? You got to ask somebody who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Because if it's true that I walk by faith and not by sight, I got to learn how to pray by faith and not by sight. Y'all, I'm going to pray by faith and not by sight. In the name of Jesus, my child is not a devil. My child is not a demon. My child is not dumb. Stop calling your child all those names, because as you speak those words over their lives, the spirit as a seed leaves you. You stop telling them you're just disobedient in your heart. Start telling them you are a child of God. You are bona fide, born again, blood washed. Start to send a prophecy over their lives, because when they grow up, they'll remember what you said. Somebody thank God. So let me give a prophetic word for the Ark of Safety Christian Church. We are the head and not the tail. We are prosperous and not poor. We are strong and not weak. Can I send a word? We are filled and not empty. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have healing and will not be defeated. Let me send a prophetic word over the Ark of Safety Christian Church. We shall succeed. We shall survive. We shall have victory. And now let me speak a word over your life. Hallelujah. The devil has no room to operate in your house. In the name of Jesus, your house shall be called a house of prayer. Your house shall be called a house of victory. Your house shall be a place of plenty. Your house shall be a place of provision. Your house shall be a place of glory. Your house shall be a place of praise. So when you walk into your house tonight, start giving God thanks. Start giving God praise. There's a prophetic word over your life. Speak. I want you to go home, and I want you to get seven things that the Bible says about you. Let's pray. I'm ready to pray. Everybody standing for a moment. You can write it down. Get seven things. What does the Bible say about me? The joy of the Lord is my what? I am joy. I am strength. Write it down, because I want you to start. I want you to change the course of your life by letting God change the course of your thinking. Say this: I'm delivered. God calls you precious. We don't like precious. That means you're worth more. There was nothing that could have stopped Jesus from dying on the cross. God says, I'm worth more than anything in this world. He loved me so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. Precious, precious, worth. I see a lot of children, when I see kids running around the church, I say, come here. I say, what's your name? They tell me name. I said, your name is Precious, too. They look at me, I say, yeah, Precious. Precious means you're worth more than everything in this world. I tell them all over. I'm telling some of them big children now. And I don't care. I say, you precious. Amen. I want you to think about your children and start thinking of their futures. Start thinking about who they are in God. I don't care if they're not there yet. I want you to write that down. This is my prophetic word about my children. They are successful. We'll get the scripture to go with it. Amen. They are successful, right? They are victorious. They are warriors. They are intelligent. I don't care what the school report says. These tests are bogus anyhow. Don't you let some teacher, amen, and all the teachers, I have great respect for you all as teachers. It is not the teacher's fault. It's our fault for letting all that stuff pass down through the government that now binds and ties up the teacher's hands that they can't even teach anymore because they're so busy trying to teach a test so they can get the money to come into their schools instead of being free to teach what they know they can do. So our kids, they know how to take a test, but they don't know math. And you got to start speaking in the name of Jesus. I speak intelligence. I will not let some test, send me some test home. Your child failed the test. Praise God. We're going to get to work on this test, but I tell you what, my child is intelligent. Come on, we got to start speaking that. What is the word over your life? When you walk into the bank, when you draw, every time you go to the bank to withdraw some money and you slip your card in to take some money out of the bank, I want you to begin to say, my account is more than enough. Come on, I want you to start speaking, April. Paul said to Timothy, don't go into warfare against the devil if you don't know the words that God has spoken over your life. And if God spoke it, it's in the word. If it's in the word, you must speak it. Amen. Let me pray for anybody in here tonight who wants to be saved. Thank you for coming and thank you for staying this long. I thought we would. Amen. We're going to go home and pray. Next week, we're going to have some prayer meeting. Come on. I want you to bring those things back. Would you do that? Would you write it up for those who aren't here and send it out tomorrow? Amen. For those who aren't here, send it out because I want them to participate and be on one accord. We're coming back. I'll continue to talk about the prophetic word. I gave just some elementary, right, some elementary points about it tonight. But this thing is deep. It was so deep that when Paul knew that he was about to die, he was still able to praise God. Y'all get what I just said? He knew God's word over his life. And what did Paul say when he was ready to die? He said, the time of my departure is at hand. But I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. Look, if I'm going to live happy, I'm going to die happy. Hallelujah. I'm going to be sad because I'm going to miss y'all. But I'm going to die happy in Jesus. And thank God I done fought enough battles. Amen. I told somebody, don't deny me going to heaven now. It's time for me to go to heaven. Don't deny me going to heaven. I worked for it. I've been up, I've been down. I've been leveled to the ground. Don't deny me my right to go to heaven. When it's my time to die, I'm going to die like Jesus did. Never said a mumbling word and just went on. Come on, amen. And that's how you want to live your life. There's a word for every season. Anybody in here tonight who's not saved, this is a good night to get saved. It's a good night to have peace with God. Let me say it again. It's a good night to have peace with God. Speak to my heart. It's a good night for you to say, I'm a good person, but the one thing that's missing, I don't have peace with God. It's a good thing to be able to say, I'm not the world's worst sinner, but I never gave my life fully to God. God isn't asking you, are you a good person or a bad person? He's asking you, are you saved? Are you his child? He's not asking you to add up all the reasons why you shouldn't go to hell and all the reasons why you should go to heaven. He wants to know, did you ever humble yourself to confess that I'm in charge of your life? Jesus is Lord. Did you ever humble yourself? Were you always so full of pride that you would never go down to the altar and pray because your pride was bigger than your God? That's number one. If you need to join the church tonight, I love the Ark of Safety Christian Church. I'm excited about what God is doing here. I bless him for it. I continue to say it. I continue to walk by faith and not by sight. I have to speak with God. Amen. And if this is a great night for you to come tonight and say, I want to come to Jesus. And maybe you're already saved and you want to join the church. You say, I'm already saved. But man, I need to join the church. I need to know what God. Anybody, she comes to rededicate tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody praise God. Who else? Who else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come and say, I need to rededicate to God? Anybody else? Grab your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your children. Say, come on. We need to be covered by the church. We need to be covered by the teaching. We need to learn. Listen, you don't have to go to church to be a good person, but you do need a good word. You need a good word. How shall they hear except there be a preacher? You need a preacher. But I need you. How can I preach if there's nobody to preach to? Marcia has been a part of, amen, of our family in many ways for about 20 years. 22 years. Amen. And sometimes God takes you roundabout ways and just thank God for your experiences. Amen. But she knows from 22 years ago, this is her home. Amen. And she said, I'm home again. I said, oh yeah, I've always been your father in the Lord and preacher. Sister Peggy. Y'all know Sister Peggy. Amen. You're the oldest daughter. Who's old? You're the oldest daughter. You're the oldest daughter. Her oldest daughter. Amen. I'm happy tonight. Let's come pray real fast. Let's pray. Let's pray. I want to pray a prayer rededication. And I know you already have the word. You sat on it for many, many years. Father, there's a reason, and I thank you for leading her into this house tonight. I thank you, Father, for rekindling the power of the Holy Spirit in her life. I thank you for all of the experiences that we have in life. Each one of them help us to grow from one degree of grace to another. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that the Ark of Safety is her home. And she's home. And I thank you. And I'm grateful. And I bless you. Father, just edify her and bless her on every side. Build her up where she's weak. Prop her on every leaning side. Let the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God, be at work. Set her on Holy Ghost fire all over again. Not our will, but let your will be done. Father, tonight I pray for the Ark of Safety Church. I pray for every member. I pray for your protection. I pray for your guidance. I want to thank you that our souls have taken courage. You're going to take care of us no matter what the government says, no matter what Obama says, no matter. Father, they are only limited. They're just doing the best that they can with their limitedness. But you are an unlimited God who can go way beyond. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that if you can put a money in the mouth of a fish, if you can use a little boy's lunch to feed 5,000, I will not be fear-filled because of rising gas prices. I will not be fear-filled because of what they're saying about the government and loss of jobs. I want to thank you that I'm your child. I send provision. I send the word called provision. I pray provision into next month and month after next. I pray it and I speak a prophetic word over my life in the name of Jesus. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, stay encouraged in Jesus' name. Before you go from this altar, where y'all one moment, we want to